Thank you very much, Desmond. Okay, everyone, at this time, we will read our introduction, followed by our Bible story. Introduction reads as follows. We often see ourselves as waiting for God for blessings, and this is just fine. But at times, the situation arises where God is waiting on us to reveal God to people who do not know God. Yes, from time to time, people hear about God from a radio program or TV show. They stumble across still millions of people have no working knowledge of God and God's limitless power. By us, even when we regard ourselves as small and insignificant, God may choose to reveal God's self to a group or a particular person. We must be open to such a call from God. Naturally answering those calls requires faith. This lesson shows how God received glory in a heathen nation when three men stood firm in faith for God, refusing to compromise their worship. Telling the Bible story. In studying this text, use verse 3:15 as a pivot to watch how God answered the question, what God will be able to rescue you from my power? The three young men were sure that they had a solid answer to that threat. Their God could rescue them in faith. They defied the king. This was a showdown of the deities, the king's gods versus the Hebrew God. Jehovah wanted a clean, undeniable win. The Lord had a major point to prove. So God allowed the king to put the furnace at maximum heat. Estimate says that the heat of the furnace was around 1800 Fahrenheit. Compare that level with the normal heat of a barbecue grill, which is about 550 Fahrenheit. This king was not planned. The three youth, they were going to bow or barbecue. It was their choice. Take note that the threat of physical death is one of the enemy's favorite weapons against believers. Verse 18 focused on a reality of faith, which believers may try to dance around. We say with certainty that our God will bring us through fiery trials, and this is a great position to take. The three youth also said that. However, they did not close the door there. They were willing to stand their ground and refuse idol worship, even if God chose not to save them physically. They acknowledge that in acts of faith, outcomes are uncertain. That is the element which gives nobility to acts of faith. Stephen took that risk in Acts 7, and God did not save him from death. This exposes the footing on which all acts of faith stand, a willingness to die for Christ. When asked by their plight, how far are you going to honor your God? The three boys said, all the way. We see a second key principle here in this text. The three youth, they did not form their faith on the day of their arrest. Their response in verses 16 through 18 showed that they had a familiar friendship with God. They referred to God they served, the wisdom and inner strength we need to face the threat of danger, especially pressures to compromise. We develop over time. What we do today in our devotion to God will prepare us for the threats of tomorrow. So this lesson underscores the importance of our devotional life. The king's scouts, or the king's shouts in verse 25, are astonishing. We read y'all the text to identify the fourth man as an angel of God or as Jesus. The king just saw him as a divine being. It is unlikely that the king, with the pantheon of culture, would have recognized the God of the Hebrews. The king could also have been speaking from the viewpoint that only God, a divine being, could have survived the 1800 Fahrenheit furnace. Only a God, the Hebrew God. At verse 28, the drama comes full circle. This was the point of the whole showdown. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they were just side characters in a showdown of the deities, the king's recognition of the Hebrew God, and the subsequent decree was the point God wanted to make. Jehovah will not be mocked or belittled by anyone. Kings, presidents, prime ministers, dictators, corporate CEOs, ordinary workers, poor homeless people, and all others must recognize God as Lord. Recall this the next time you see a leader acting crazy. God got glory, you all, when three youth stood their ground and refused to compromise their faith. A lesson for us today. And all we can say is amen, amen, and amen. Okay, you all, at this time we begin our lesson. Again, you all, our lesson is entitled Faith Amidst the Fiery Furnace. Now, of course, our passage comes, as we've read, from Daniel, the third chapter, verses 19 through 28a. Now, y'all, this is one of those throwback chapters in the Bible that we have basically, y'all, been hearing about since we were just little children in Sunday school and vocational Bible school. It is one of those passages that we think that we know inside and out, from back to front and from up to down. It is one of those passages that we often neglect when we're searching for deeper truth in the Word of God. Now, concerning the challenges of the fiery furnace, y'all, we're going to learn this evening that there is hope and there is help for those who presently are facing their personal fiery furnace. In fact, y'all, there is help for all of us. Now, because we live in a world, y'all, that is becoming increasingly unfriendly towards God, Jesus Christ, the Bible, Christianity, and the born-again believer. As we travel back in time to ancient Babylon, to a kingdom that was also unfriendly towards God and his ways, we'll observe these three young men with backbones of steel who would not bend, bow, or burn. We'll observe them, you all, as they endure their furnace of affliction. We'll learn a few lessons from the fiery furnace. In fact, y'all, there are three simple lessons in this passage that is worth exploring this evening. So that will be our objective. First things first, need to know doctrine. First thing we need to know, you all, is that God's people are a persecuted people. And it comes from the context. Nebuchadnezzar, you all, he reacts in anger to the stand that was taken by the three Hebrew boys. And he determined that he would destroy them in the fiery furnace. He orders them bound up and cast into a furnace heated some seven times hotter than it was normally heated. The fire is so hot that it slays the men who toss them into the fire. But why is there all this anger leveled at these men? Well, the reason of the king's actions are found in verses 9 through 18. And the reason to why persecuted? Well, y'all, first of all, they are persecuted because of their standards. You see, the golden image, y'all, set up by Nebuchadnezzar and the common attack basically attached to it as far as the command in verses 1 through 7. It would appear, you all, that Nebuchadnezzar has set up an image of his favorite god, or more likely that he set up this image of himself. However, you all, no matter what, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, well, they refused to bow to that image. Their faith in God would not allow them to stoop to the same level as the pagans around them. In other words, you all, their standards and manner of life made them somewhat even more different from the others around them that day. Point of doctrine. The born-again believer should have a different standard of living from the world around him. They are persecuted also because of their Savior. You see, Nebuchadnezzar, you all, he gives them a second chance. Now, he knows why these boys are refusing to bow. And he, Nebuchadnezzar, actually, in his arrogance, truly believe that he is more powerful than the God that they serve. He demands that they bow to his will instead of the will of God. And note that, you all, the believer should walk in total submission to the will of God. You know, we are to totally sell ourselves out to God and his will. He is to have first place in our lives. Listen to the words, you all, and standards of our Lord and Savior. When you get an opportunity, read Luke 14, chapter 26, 27 verse, or Matthew 10, chapter 37 and 38 verse. Now, you all, in verses 16 through 18, they are, you all, persecuted also, and we've learned that they've been persecuted, or one of the portion of the totality of the rationale for their persecution, we find first their standards were different, so they were persecuted for that. Their Savior is different, so they are persecuted for that. Now, you all, they are persecuted because of the stand in which they take. So even you all, when threatened with a horrible death, these men refuse to bend or to bow. They take their standard, you all, their stand in spite of the personal cost. And again, note, you all, that the mature believer should square his or her shoulders and take a stand for Jesus. You know, we are to be totally committed to him. Here is what, you all, we need to get a hold of this evening. If we are going to live for Jesus in this world, if we're going to be his and his alone, if we're going to refuse to let the world squeeze us into its mold, then, you all, we are going to suffer persecution. That is exactly what the Bible teaches us. We can find that in 2 Timothy 3:2. 1 Peter 4:12. This is how it stands. If you and I are going to love and live godly, and we are going, you all, to live for Jesus, then we are going to be persecuted. So there are going to be furnaces that are going to be set for us. There will be furnaces of criticism, furnaces of intimidation, furnaces of hatred, furnaces of temptation, furnaces of trials like we can't even imagine. I mean, you know, that's just the way it is. In fact, if we recall, you all, the word teaches us that, you know, Jesus was persecuted in such capacity. And certainly if he was persecuted, then why would we find it strange when we too are under such persecution? So it reveals to us if our Lord was persecuted, then we too shall be persecuted when we stand for him. Now, y'all, we begin our study here, beginning at verse number 19. The Hebrew men in the fiery furnace. The three men are cast violently into the furnace. And in verse 19 to 23, it reads as follows. Then Nebuchadnezzar was so filled with rage against Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that his face was distorted. He ordered the furnace to be heated up seven times more than was customary, and ordered some of the strongest guards in the army to basically bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and throw them into the furnace of blazing fire. So the men were bound, still wearing their tunics, their pants, their hats, and their other garments. And they were thrown into the furnace of blazing fire because the king's command was urgent. And the furnace was so overheated that the raging flames killed the men who lifted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. But the three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down bound into the furnace of blazing fire. Your Nebuchadnezzar was full of fury. I mean, no matter how brave Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were, well, facing the fury of the king, you all, was still extremely intimidating. And we get the feeling, you all, that prior to their statement, Nebuchadnezzar actually spoke kindly, almost a fatherly manner, to these wayward boys. After hearing their bold challenge, the expression on his face changed. And despite the intense intimidation, the men stayed courageous in their confession of faith. Surgeon, that's a theological scholar, and Surgeon, you all, he eloquently describes the horror of those who lose their courage at such times. Remember also, you all, that by yielding to the fear of man, you know, we are simultaneously demeaning ourselves. So the surgeon, he quotes, and he says this. He says, "There shall come a day when the man that was ashamed of Christ will himself be ashamed. He will wonder where he could hide his guilty head. Look at him. There he is, the traitor who denied his Lord. The Christ was spat upon and nailed to the cross, and this man was afraid to own him, to win the smile of a silly maid, to escape the gist of a coarse fellow, to win few pieces of silver, to stand respectable among his fellow men. He turned his back upon the Redeemer and sold his Lord. And now what can be said for him? Who can excuse him? The angels shone him as a man who is ashamed of the Lord of glory. He is clothed with shame and everlasting contempt. Even the lost in hell get away from him, for many of them were more honest than he. Is there such a man as this before me? I summon him in the name of the living God to answer for his cowardice. Let him come forth and own his crime and humble seek forgiveness at the hands of the gracious Savior." End quote. Bound in their coats, the furnace exceedingly hot. Everything was done to make sure, you all, that these three Hebrew men were quickly and completely burned. Verse 24-25, Nebuchadnezzar, he sees four alive and well in the furnace. The king, then King Nebuchadnezzar, was astounded, and he basically arose in the haste, and he spoke, saying to his counselors, "Did we not cast three men bound into the midst of the fire?" They answered and said to the king, "True, O king." "Look," he answered, "I see four men loose walking in the midst of the fire, and they are not hurt, and the form of the fourth is like the Son of God." Y'all, the king was astonished. Well, it's astonishing, y'all, that anyone actually survived even for a moment inside the furnace where others perished outside the door. The Old Testament says in Daniel 3:24 that Nebuchadnezzar's attention was caught when he heard the men sing praises in the furnace. We will imagine, you all, that the king had them cast into the furnace and didn't intend to look twice, believing that they would basically be immediately consumed as he walked away with a satisfied look on his face. He was immediately stopped by the sound of singing coming from the furnace. At a safe and secure distance from the raging fire, he peered inside and he saw four men loose walking in the midst of the fire. If this scene, y'all, in the furnace is true, it reminds us of Paul and Silas singing in the Philippian jail. He said, "I see four men loose, and the form of the fourth is like the Son of God." Y'all, Nebuchadnezzar, he tells us who the fourth person was, the Son of God. Your Jesus was literally with these guys in the worst of their trial. And we don't know really, y'all, if Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego even knew that the Son of God was with them in their fiery trial. You see, sometimes, y'all, we are aware of Jesus' presence in the trials of our lives. And then there are sometimes we are not. But he is there, y'all, nonetheless. Spurgeon, again, he observed that God's people are often in the furnace, and though there are different kinds of furnaces, they serve similar purposes in our life. There is the furnace, you all, that man prepares. There is the furnace, you all, that Satan prepares. And there is the furnace, you all, that God prepares. But however, God, you all, he can deliver us from a trial, or he can miraculously, you know, sustain and strengthen us in a trial. He said, "I see four loose walking in the midst of the fire." Your Nebuchadnezzar also observed that four men were free in the fire. You see, the fire only burnt the ropes that bound them. Verse 26-27. The Hebrew men, they leave the furnace unharmed. Our scripture says, "Then Nebuchadnezzar went near the mouth of the burning fiery furnace, and spoke, saying, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, servants of the Most High God, come out and come here. Then Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came from the midst of the fire. And the king's counselors gathered together, and they saw these men on whose bodies the fire had no power. The hair of their head was not singed, nor their garments affected, and the smell of fire was not on them. Servants of the Most High God, before they were out of the furnace, Nebuchadnezzar recognized that these men served the true and the living God, the Most High God. These men on whose bodies the fire had no power, the trial had no power over these men, because they were totally submitted to the power and the will of God. Before the time of Jesus' presence, you all, these guys, they knew the truth of Jesus' promise. They could feel in their souls those words that says, in the world, you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. The smell of fire was not on them. This actually demonstrates, y'all, how complete their deliverance was. I mean, this whole account illustrates, perhaps, serving as a type of a future of Israel during the Great Tribulation. You see, y'all, Nebuchadnezzar, well, he is like, y'all, the Antichrist, who forces the whole world into one religion of idolatry. Nebuchadnezzar's image is like the image described in Revelation 13th chapter, that the whole world will be commanded to worship. The fiery furnace is like the great tribulation, which will be great affliction for the Jews. The three Hebrew men are like Israel, who will be preserved through the tribulation. The executioners who punish are like those in the league with the Antichrist, who Jesus will slay at his return. And the mysteriously, mystically absent Daniel is like the church, not even present for this time of great tribulation. Our final verse, verse 28, we're going to look at the aftermath of Nebuchadnezzar's drama. Nebuchadnezzar finally acknowledges the greatness of the God of these three Hebrew boys. Verse 28 says, Nebuchadnezzar spoke, saying, Blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who sent his angels to deliver his servants who trusted in him. And they have frustrated the king's word and yielded their bodies that they should not serve nor worship any god except their own God. Blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. You know, Nebuchadnezzar, he gave glory to God. But he recognized, you all, that the great God is not his God. He is still the God of these three brave men who sent his angels and delivered his servants who trusted in him. Now in Daniel 3:15, Nebuchadnezzar asks, Who is the God who will deliver you from my hands? Now, your Nebuchadnezzar, he knew a great deal about this God. He is the God of the Hebrews, the God of Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego. He is the God who sends a Savior, who sent his angel. He is the God of great power, delivered his servants. He is the God worthy of full surrender, frustrated the king's word and yielded their bodies. He is the God who demands exclusive allegiance, that they should not serve nor worship any god except their own God. Nebuchadnezzar, he knew you all a whole lot about God, but you all, he did not yet know him personally. Yielded their bodies, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They surrendered themselves completely to God. We're talking about body, soul, and spirit. It was kind of a submission, one that, like Paul wrote of in Romans 12:1, where it tells us to present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. You see, this whole account is a powerful illustration of the principle of Romans 12:1. Because we see Satan, he's trying to make the believer bow down to his idolized image of what men and women should be. Christians must resist this with everything that they have and pursue God's ideals. In this, you all will fulfill Romans 12:1. And do not be conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of one's mind, that we may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Just as Nebuchadnezzar, you all, gives God the glory of his power, that he was able, you all, to protect his worshipers against the most mighty and malignant enemies. And there is no other God, you all, that can deliver after this sort. No, not this golden image, which is he basically had set up. For this reason, you all, there was no other God that obliged his worshipers to cleave to him only and to suffer death rather than worship any other as a God of Israel. For they, you all, could not engage to bear them out in doing so, you all, as he could. So if God can work such deliverance as no other can, well, he may certainly demand such obedience as no other may. Y'all, this is the truth. This is the thought that we must meditate on as we find faith amidst the fiery furnace. That concludes our lesson. Made it short and sweet for a beautiful evening for the rest of the night. Y'all, with that being said, we're going to close now with our prayer, our devotional prayer. Desmond, are you there? Okay,
yes,
that will be on page. Okay, very good, Desmond. Page 81, I think it is. Could you please read our closing prayer?
81?
Yes, sir.
Yes, our closing prayer for the evening, and it reads, Dear Compassionate God, the three Hebrew boys, they stood in their faith, so your name could get glory among heathens. If ever I am in a similar position, give me the assurance of your presence. I ask in Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you so very much, Desmond. Okay, everyone, that concludes our Sunday school lesson. I would like to close with this our church school creed. It reads as follows. I believe my AME church school must grow and grow, and that I must make it a top priority to make it so. Every member a Christian, every Christian a worker, every worker trained so that a worker need not be ashamed. This we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, everyone, that concludes our Sunday school. Any announcements, any questions, anything need to be shared? We open the mic at this time. Anyone? Okay, very excellent. You all, again, we are so grateful for your presence, especially on this tempting evening, that now we are free to have the liberty to now enjoy that wonderful game that's on. But we want to thank you all for coming out. We always like to let you know we thank God for you. We love you. Keep praying for each other. And again, we ask that you continue to take God's word in, that it may continue to empower us and be a blessing to others. With that being said, we love you all. Have a good night and enjoy your football game. That's the objective. Good night, everyone.